Savior and indeed as your Lord. We're turning to Mark's Gospel chapter 5 tonight for our Bible reading. It's a joy to be invited to come over today to the services and be with you in your services this Lord's Day in Crossgar. We trust again tonight that the Lord will bless his own word. I do remember in the month of May of this year going up into that region on the eastern coast of the Sea of Galilee. Our brother Roy and Mrs. Muir were there, and it was a lot warmer than it is here tonight. And I remember Dr. Douglas, as we were sitting there in that area platform where you could view and see the entire Sea of Galilee below us. I remember Mr. Douglas opening this portion and speaking to us and telling us that it was around that area that this incident took place. And as you look over the edge, it is very, very steep, plunging down to the Sea of Galilee. Let's read this account of the man of Gadara and how he was delivered the day he met the Lord. The day he met the Lord. I remember the day I met the Lord in 1977. I was 17. I met the Lord. Have you met the Lord? You know, you could meet the Lord tonight in this house. Look at verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this portion of Scripture, this inspired record of a marvelous conversion and deliverance experience in the life of this poor man. Lord, what You did for this man, we thank Thee, Father, You're still able to do. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Lord, give us help to give the sense of some matters in this portion of Scripture. And Lord, lay hold upon our hearts. Lay hold upon our minds. Speak in our consciences. And Lord, for those who are not converted, may this night, may there be indeed a fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Like this man who, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran. He ran and worshipped the Lord. Oh, Father, we pray that souls will run tonight to Christ for God's wonderful salvation. Help me, Lord, give me the help of Thy Holy Spirit. For we're nothing at all, and we have no strength of ourselves, none. But, Lord, we thank Thee for that power that we were thinking of this morning, the power of God in the gospel, to save all who believe. We ask this in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Now, of course, this is a remarkable case of demon possession. It stands out even in the Bible. Of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, and especially when He began His ministry, again and again we read recorded in the four Gospels how the devil and his demons confronted Christ. It's an interesting thing to notice in the study of demonology, as it's called, that the demons recognized fully who Jesus Christ is. If you look at verse number 7, it says concerning this man that he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure Thee by God that Thou torment me not." In the voice here we have the voice of the devil. And yet we have this recognition that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God. And that is, of course, a title of the Messiah. The demons recognize who Jesus is. That's interesting. You know, when the cults come to your door and deny who Jesus really is, and when modernists and liberals deny who Jesus is, they are worse than devils. The book of James tells me that the devils believe and tremble. The modernists don't believe and laugh and mock fundamental Bible-believing faith. It's interesting. But as we consider this portion of God's Word tonight, as I said, it's a remarkable case of demon possession and therefore a remarkable case of deliverance by the power of the Lord Jesus. And it would not be right to suggest that around every corner of every street of every estate in Northern Ireland there are men so possessed as this man was. But nevertheless, do remember that the counsel of the Lord's word to all us who are saved in Peter is that we are to be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that means that you and I face the devil. You and I, every day of our lives, face this foe. A dear sister was praying even in the prayer meeting tonight that God would build a hedge around us and around our families against the devil. That was a good prayer. But I want you to notice how the disciples of the Lord Jesus met the devil on this occasion. I think there's a great lesson here for God's people. You see, as they sailed across this Sea of Galilee, we read it in chapter 4, there was, in the words of Mark, a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now picture this scene, the little ship on the sea in the midst of this great storm is full of water. Now, you and I know that a boat, a ship that's full of water is in great danger. The Lord Jesus on this occasion was asleep on a pillow. It's not marvelous. In the midst of a storm, the Lord Jesus is asleep on a pillow. You see, Christ is God. And although the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, was asleep on the pillow, God was in perfect control. And it's good to know in the storms of life that our Lord is in control of all things. There's no storm takes the Lord by surprise. It is obvious from this incident that this storm was great in its ferocity, so much so that even seasoned fishermen who had sailed those waters many years were afraid. And in fact, they ran and they awoke the Lord, verse 38 of chapter 4, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" So they certainly sized up the situation and definitely believed that they were going to drown in that awful storm. But the Lord Jesus rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to the disciples, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now here's what I want to say on that point. As the ship reached the shore, the eastern shore of Galilee, as those men stepped out of that ship, do you know the thought that was going through their mind? Do you know the thought that was going through their heart? Well, it's recorded for us in verse 41. Look at it, mark it down in your Bible. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" As you step out into a new day, step out into every new day with high thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure as you leave your home and go out to face the world, the flesh and the devil, that you really know who Jesus is. Think of them as they step out onto the rocky shore. This thought surging through their minds and their hearts as they're speaking to each other. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's how to meet the devil. Meet the devil on the ground of absolute assurance that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all creation. That the very storm has to lie down like a dog when Christ says to it, "Peace, be still." If you're in a storm tonight, or if you're entering into a storm this week and you have no idea it's coming, fill your mind every day with great thoughts of Christ. Worship him. He's the Lord God. God incarnate. Well, they came ashore into this country of the Gadarenes. And we're told here in verse number 2 that when Jesus was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I see in this portion of Scripture, in this remarkable case of demon possession, I see six marks of the devil in this man's life. First of all, we read that he had, verse 2, an unclean spirit. Unclean. You know, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones tells in one of his sermons about a case of conversion experience when he preached in Wales. And down the road, down the street, a little from the little chapel in which he preached, there was a woman who was given over to, well, she was some sort of psychic. She could contact the dead, she claimed. People would come to her and they would enter into these practices and no doubt pay her money. And she had this power to contact the dead and to find things out that other men and women could never find out. And one night she noticed that a lot of people were going into the church. She decided to go and hear what was the attraction. And she went in, she sat in the back. And as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached the gospel, that woman got saved. And she later testified. She was asked what made the difference, what was it that impacted upon her in that meeting that night. And you know what she said? She said, you know, there was a power in that meeting. But she says, I had experienced a power in my meetings. But she says the difference was this, the power in the gospel service was clean and pure. And here's a man and he's possessed with an unclean spirit. And you'll find this so often, that the devil and uncleanness go together. That's why this letter that Roy read out is of significance. This is an unclean age and getting more unclean in every way. Then I notice, secondly, this man's dwelling. Where did he dwell? Did he dwell in a house? Did he dwell in a home? Surrounded by his family and friends and neighbors? No. Verse 2, there met him out of the tombs, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. Here's a man lived an unnatural life and lived in an unnatural place. Just last Saturday, not Saturday yesterday, but the Saturday before, I was walking along Regent Street there. And if you know Newton Ards, just across the road from the Reformed Presbyterian Church, there's two phone boxes. I noticed the queue of people lining up the wall to use the bank, the hole-in-the-wall bank there. And then I noticed the phone boxes, and in the phone box nearest Regent Street stood two of the town drunks. And the craters were in there trying to get shelter from the biting wind. But there's one of those men has slept in that phone box for many, many nights. And he has lived on the form outside the Reformed Presbyterian Church, wrapped in a blanket. That's an unnatural way to live. That's not right. Of course, drink has brought those men, but I'm sure the devil has a hand in it too. Here's a man, he had his dwelling among the tombs. You'll notice his violent strength. This so often is a mark of demon possession. It says in verse 3, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This is a violent age too. The Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And one thing that marked the days of Noah was violence filled the earth. And this is a violent age. We had that awful, awful occasion recently there with that awful burning and fire in that home where those two people have since died of their injuries and their burns. It's the devil's work. Violent strength. You'll notice his unrest. Verse 4 and verse 5 reminds us again that always, night and day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Unrest. You know, the Bible says there is no rest to the wicked. The wicked are like a troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. It is the business of the Lord Jesus to give the soul gospel rest. The devil robs men of rest. And then I see also his self-harm, his mutilation of his own body. In verse 5, it says he was cutting himself with stones. Now here are these marks of the devil in this man's life: uncleanness, unnatural lifestyle, violent strength, unrest in his spirit and soul, his capacity for self-harm. But there's one other mark. And that other mark is this. If you look at verse number 6, it says, and this is a remarkable thing, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. I love that verse. You know what that verse tells me? That verse tells me when a precious soul makes for Christ, all the devils in hell not stop. If you mean tonight, if you're in this service tonight and you mean to be saved, and you're determined to go through with it tonight and come to the Lord, and you have decided before God you're going to be saved, you're going to call upon the Lord, and you step out by faith for Christ, all the devils will not stop you. They can't stop you. Because the Lord Jesus said that he will draw men unto him. Thank God the devil can't stop the drawing power. But if you're careless, if you treat this as a careless thing and you don't know whether to believe it or not believe it, and you have no great desire to know the Lord or be saved, then the devil can snatch away even the seed that's sown tonight. But here's a man, and remember, he is demon possessed. His name is Legion, for they are many, and yet they couldn't stop him running to worship the Lord. I think that's wonderful. Wonderful tonight. It gives me encouragement that the very worst of men can be saved, you know. The very worst of women can be converted to Jesus Christ. Now remember this, although we're looking at a remarkable account and a remarkable case of demon possession, remember this, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So if you're saying tonight, you know, that's a remarkable case of demon possession, but the devil has no say in my life, well, think again, because if you don't believe, it's because he has blinded your mind. He has blinded your mind. You know, there's an interesting case in this incident concerning these swine. I always find this a remarkable portion. This incident in our English Bible is told in 20 verses. And we could say that 7 of the verses are given over to this account of what happened to the pigs, the swine, on the mountainside. And I always wondered about that. It's as if the Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to these matters, and I think there are lessons to be learned there. Lessons to be learned there. And there is the lesson, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed and permitted them to enter into this herd of swine. Sometimes, you know, we wonder why things happen and why things are allowed to happen. And people often do say, why doesn't God stop it? But you know, God will stop it. But God will stop it in His own way and in His own time. God will deal with the devil. Christ has dealt with the devil on the cross. But God, in the ultimate end, will deal with the devil and cast him eternally into that lake of fire. But you know, there's another lesson here, and it's very solemn and very serious. It would appear that as these demons were ejected from the life and soul of this poor man, they had this overwhelming desire to possess somebody. And we read there was a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought Christ, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. There's this thought that the demons of hell must needs enter into somebody. That's why it's a dangerous thing to empty your mind. And that's why it's a dangerous thing to get yourself into some kind of hypnotic state, whether it be by heavy rock music or some mystical practice of some Eastern religion where you empty your mind. The Bible never teaches people to empty their mind, never. In fact, as far as we believers are concerned, the Bible teaches us to fill our minds with the Word of God. I tell you, there are people today who are emptying their minds and the devils are coming in. So we need to learn that lesson. And of course, we do read that this herd of swine went completely mad. Look at verse 13. It says, the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and were choked in the sea. Now hold on a minute. These are the same demons who possess one man. But that one man never ran violently down that steep place and drowned in the sea. Not, mind you, that the demons didn't or wouldn't have wanted that. How come this legion of demons could enter a man, one human being, and he doesn't go that road, and yet when they enter into these 2,000 pigs, they ran violently down a steep place into the sea? Why is that? Because men are not animals. A man's a man and a woman's a woman. We're made in the image of God. And although the devils did do diabolical work in this man's life, yet they fought daily against his own reason. But when they entered into the herd of swine, those pigs were just driven to madness immediately. And they run violently down that steep place into the sea and they're choked. Brothers and sisters, even this portion of Scripture cries out in my heart that evolution's a dirty lie. And you're sitting here tonight and you're hearing the gospel and you're able to reason. That's why the Lord says in Isaiah, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You're able to reason. You're asking questions. Every human being Because we're made in God's image and we have a mind and we have a spirit and we have a soul, every human being at some time asks the questions, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? And what's it all for? If you have a goldfish bowl sitting on your cupboard and there's two goldfish in it, do you think them two goldfish reason like that? I have a spaniel dog at home called Pete. I don't think Pete lies in his kennel at night pondering the issues of life. He just waits till the morning to get his pedigree chum. That's all he's interested in. See, this is a diabolical lie, this evolution. You are made for God. And you are made for eternity. You're a human being. And society is reaping, and this nation of ours will reap the whirlwind because of this teaching. They're teaching the children that you're only an animal. And all the animals have to share this earth. And then they wonder why they act like animals on a Friday and a Saturday night. Well, of course, this man, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look here again at verse number 6, when he saw Jesus, notice, afar off. Afar off. I want to tell you something tonight. It's possible you don't know all theology. Because I'm in this pulpit and I don't know all theology. It's possible you don't know all the doctrines of the Bible. It's possible you don't know all the verses and all the hymns. And you don't know much about church history. You don't know anything about Bible prophecy. But even if you see Jesus afar off, and you make for him, you can be saved. If you know you're a sinner and a lost soul, and you feel your need of him tonight in your heart and life, and you want to be saved, you can be saved. He saw Jesus afar off, and he ran, and he worshipped him. And the Lord, of course, said to him, verse 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And of course, we notice verse 13, forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Now look what happened to him in verse number 15. When the people of the country and the region came to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. He was changed. You know, it says at the end of this portion, five words, it says, and all men did marvel. You know, that's what we need. You see, if them two boys in that phone box got gloriously converted and saved, really saved, and their lives cleaned up and a Bible put in their hand and sitting in church every Lord's Day and giving their testimony in Conway Square, the people of Newton Orange would marvel. They would marvel. Is that, I don't want to name names, but is that so-and-so that used to stand every day in the square drinking? We need to pray for conversions that will cause men to marvel. And here he is, he's sitting, he's clothed, and listen to this, he's in his right mind. You know, when the devil has you, you're not in your right mind. And when the devil blinds you to the reality of Christ and God's salvation, you're not in your right mind. If you're sitting here tonight determined not to be saved and you're going to go out the door not saved, rejecting Christ, that's not a right mind. Because you need to be saved and the Lord is here and you can be saved tonight. If you see Christ and as he's brought before us here in this portion of Scripture, and you can come and be saved tonight. And if you decide, choose to go out the door rejecting him. That's not the thinking of a right mind. But the Lord transformed this man's life. And then, strangely enough, it says at the end of verse 15, they were afraid. They were afraid of him when the devil had him. And now they're afraid of him because the Lord has him. And sometimes people are like that, you know. I know men, and they'll not go to a gospel meeting. You know why? They're afraid they'll get saved. They're afraid something strange will happen in that meeting. And that they'll turn into a Bible thumper. Oh, thank God. Look what the Lord said to him in verse 19. The man wanted to be with Christ. That's always a good sign of a true work of grace in anybody's life. Someone gets saved and they never come to church, never come to a prayer meeting, never want to be where the Lord is. Something wrong there. But this man, what did he say? He prayed him that he might be with him. I want to be with you, Lord. But the Lord Jesus suffered him not and says to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. A remarkable case of demon possession, a remarkable case of the Lord's deliverance. And he's the same Lord tonight. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We look at this man and we probably think, well, that's some sort of unique experience. There's no way that sums up my life. Listen. If we haven't got to where that man was, it's only by the grace of God. It's only because of a lot of things in our lives that have prevented the devil doing his worst. The devil has no love or sympathy for any human being, none. The devil has no love for God's creation. The devil has no love even for a wee boy or girl. He's out to destroy your soul. You need the Lord. Let's bow our hearts and our heads before the Lord tonight.